You are listening to the Primitive Intelligence Podcast, episode 518, The Inflatable Army of the Illuminati. Well, not entirely an army that inflates of the Illuminati, but the title sounded good. This week has been extremely busy. I got a lot going on. Working for myself and trying to get some stuff taken care of with that. And then researching and trying to come up with stories and everything. And I've got a few leads on some stuff, but nothing came together quick enough. And the things that did look into all turned to garbage. So it's going to be a fun episode of it's going to be an episode that shows you what happens when things don't fall into place when you're researching for a show. And that's what we're going to have. But keep in mind, this is the second extended episode. This is the second episode of the extension of season 5. So I wasn't planning on going this far into the season. So I'm doing pretty good considering I was not prepared at all. With all that being said, though, episode 518 of the Primitive Intelligence Podcast starts now. So, like I said, hectic week. Research was did not go smoothly, and I have a few stories that I looked into that really kind of went a different way. I'm gonna go over two of those. I'm going to talk about because the other was just complete garbage. But something interesting did happen, and this started yesterday, and it's very, very interesting. I got an official invitation to join the Illuminati. I'm going to read you, and I know this is secret organization, secret society kind of thing. But I think it's okay for me to read this. This is the actual invitation that I received. Hello, greetings from the Great Illuminati Brotherhood. This message is to invite you to be part of us and participate in fame, power, wealth, protection, and also $1 million as a welcome gift, a car of your choice, a house of your choice, and a ring of protection and good luck. That's my invitation. And now, this has to be legit. There's no way this isn't. And the reason why I know that is because this invitation came to me directly from TikTok. How can it not be real? I am not a fan of TikTok. I mentioned this a couple episodes ago. I've been messing around with it, putting some stuff up from Primitive Intelligence in Hemlock Mountain Outdoors. Just as another avenue to get eyes on both of those brands. And it's fine for that. But then you get stuff like this. This is clearly a scam. And in my mind, the way I see these kinds of things is when someone approaches me with something like this, I would rather they think they've got me on the hook and take that time away from them where they're not possibly finding someone who could really believe what's going on here. So I like to draw these out a little bit. And maybe this is just a bot and it's not an actual person. I'm not wasting anyone's time but my own. But I haven't lost sleep over this. I haven't stopped what I was doing or anything like that. So these are the way this goes is very sporadic through when I have time throughout the last, over 24 hours now. So the contact came from someone who goes by the name of Henry, and his TikTok is apparently the official TikTok of the Illuminati, and I'm sure there's more than one. So I will be referring to this person as Henry of the Illuminati, and I'm going to read to you the exchange that Henry and myself have had over the past day or so. And let me know how legit you think this might actually be. So after this initial offer of initiation into Illuminati, the messages that I read from Henry are not well written. and I'm going to read them as he wrote them. There's some very important spelling mistakes in here that will change some things. And his grammar is not great. And I would think, I don't know. And I'm sure something like the Illuminati would have people from all around the world who maybe English isn't their first language. But if you were trying to recruit someone who isn't native English speaker, you might send one of your native English speaking people to talk to them, you know, so communication is as well. But that's just me. So after this initial invitation into the Illuminati, I replied and I said, "This is a very gracious offer. Please tell me more." Henry replies, "The Illuminati is an elite organization of world leaders, business authorities, and other influential members of this planet. Our collective unites of the world in an unrestricted and private domain, free of political, religious, and geographical boundaries to further the prosperity of the human species as a whole. Our operations require anonymity for the safety of our members. We strive to create a better understanding between us and the people we have been entrusted to protect. Understood?" I replied, "Understood? How do I fit in the grand scheme of things? I'm a fairly regular and unimportant person." Henry says, "What's your name and where are you from?" I said, "I don't mean to be rude, but shouldn't you know that already? It just seems odd to invite a stranger into a super secret world-controlling organization." And after a few minutes, Henry replies, "If you want your life to change, first change your mind. Success and failure is within you. Choosing success or failure is determined by your mind. Your mind is everything. The thoughts you put through your head make up your reality. Change your thoughts and your reality will change." I said, "Agreed." And I already knew that. Perceiving my own reality doesn't change the fact that you invited me to join the Illuminati without knowing who I am. Logic, reason, and honor now dictate that you explain this wildly dangerous decision that could endanger the secrecy of the Brotherhood. Henry comes back with, "You were selected to join the organization because we see a wealthy person in you. You will be the one helping people in need. The homeless will enjoy from you. You will feed the poor with the help of the Illuminati. We can make your business move, and we can give you any position you want in your working place, or be creative in anything you do. With the help of the Illuminati, your unreviewed destiny will be show to the world that you are a great person." I came back with, "You said, quote, you were selected to join the organization because we see a wealthy person in you, unquote. Then you must already know who I am." Henry says, "Listen, my brother, when I look at your profile, I can see how great you will be come through the help of the great Illuminate Brotherhood. That's why I chose to invite you. So I can teach you how we'll operate, brother." I said, "Thank you. So what's the next step?" Henry says, "I want you to know the certain things which we don't require or accept as a member of the Illuminati Brotherhood. First, we don't affect sacrifices or killing. We don't sell out souls. And we don't affect anyone. Religion. We work solely of the benefits and protection of the human species." "Got it, brother." I said, "I'm on board with all of that." Although it does start to feel like I'm talking to Macho Man Randy Savage. Henry says, "Joining comes with trust. You need to trust me while I trust you. then you can be what you want to be if there are no doubts joining about it. This is the real Illuminati, I assure you. Now I'm feeling safer already. I've been assured. This is really the Illuminati. I said, sounds fair. How do we build trust? Henry says, believe if you keep your faith. You keep your trust. You keep the right attitude. If you are grateful, you will see Illuminati open up new doors that we lead to your success for you, my brother. I said, okay, consider it done. I'm always grateful for everything. Now, this goes on like this with Henry for a while. Like, I just would randomly pick up my phone, and it was just him extolling the virtues of the Illuminati and talking in circles when I ask him questions about how to join, and it just keeps on going. So at this point, I'm thinking maybe it's a bot, and it's not an actual person. And then I get the official Illuminati membership form with a little eye of Horus after it. Now, keep in mind, this is TikTok messaging. And if you've never used TikTok messaging, it is simply only text-based. You can't insert any kind of images or attach files or anything like that. So this is just typed into his message, his reply to me, the Illuminati membership form. And it asks for the following information: full name, date of birth, nationality, gender, occupation, monthly income, have you applied before, home address, phone number, ID number, and then a note at the bottom that says, you are to state your reasons for joining the Illuminati and what you want the Illuminati Society to do for you as a member. Hail the light. Now, I do not know much about the Illuminati. I don't know much about secret societies in general. Although I will take a wild guess at this, that A, they don't send you an application that they expect you to fill out, because they, if they want you to join, they already know who you are and they've been watching you for a while and they don't need any of this information. And they're not going to give you an application that asks you to tell them what you expect them to do for you. I am 99.9% sure that is not how a group as powerful as Illuminati reportedly is. I don't think this is how they would handle it. So I let that sit for about 24 hours. I just ignore the messages. I just go about my life. And then I do notice that he's sending little bump messages to get my attention. Don't forget to fill this out. Don't forget to fill this out. So later on, before I start recording today, time to mess with them a little bit. So I send another message and I say, okay, I printed out the application. It's all filled out and they already have it in an envelope with a stamp on it. I just need the address to send it to. He gets back to me pretty quickly with an email address. That is a Gmail address. That's right. I am now picturing the Brotherhood of the Illuminati sitting around a computer in this dark, gothic-style room in some cathedral somewhere or some monastery or whatever they happen to be in, and they forgot their password. They forgot the Gmail password. It's probably just enlightenment. You can get back in. It's okay. But I say to him, can I mail it directly to headquarters? I found this address online, which I did, and I found several official, quote, Illuminati headquarters official websites, because I'm sure that's what they do. The address is, and I'm going to pronounce this horribly, I guarantee you, but Lungotevere de Melini, 170193, Roma, Rome, Italy. That's what I sent to him. But hey, they're not going to have their headquarters listed on the website. One of the websites actually has the White House, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, as their address. I wonder how many people think that's legit. So I decided, let me look this up. So I Google this address, and it shows up in Google as the Armenian embassy in Rome. So super legit. So I ask him, do you want me to send it there? And Henry says, send it here. And he repeats his email address. I said, should I also send a copy to headquarters? And I give him the email address that's on that website. It's info@IlluminatiHeadquarters.org. So it's obviously not legit. They spelled headquarters incorrectly, probably because they couldn't get the real word. So we probably already owned it. So should I send it to info@IlluminatiHeadquarters just to be safe? And Henry's reply is, that's the Grandmaster email who will lead you on how to get initiated into the Great Illuminati Brotherhood. And I replied to him, really? The Grandmaster has his/her email just posted on the website? You know what's weird? The address for Illuminati headquarters is the Armenian Embassy in Rome, Italy. That doesn't seem right. Now, that was hours ago. I'm going to, while we're recording, I'm going to look and see if he has replied. I'm going to guess not, because he was ignoring me for a while after that. Let's see. And nothing. He's seen the message and not replying anymore. So I think he realizes the jig is up. Fun, right? I wasted this guy's time for a day. I doubt I'm really in danger of infuriating the Illuminati with this, because I'm pretty sure, A, the Illuminati doesn't use Gmail addresses. They don't send applications to people through TikTok messaging, and the Illuminati most likely does not have a TikTok account. And the funny thing is, I looked at the guy's account, and all of the services he shows, like these real quick videos, they're all Freemason services. That's all they are, because you can see the Freemason symbol in a lot of these, and that's not the same. Like, Freemasons exist. There are Freemasons. I know a couple. And I know they have services and they do these things. But they're not the Illuminati. So if you weren't paying attention and you just saw that, oh, that's very impressive, you might actually believe this guy. And if someone who doesn't think that everything is a scam from TikTok, or they just really want to believe, what are they getting suckered into here? It's a really bizarre situation we're in right now, where people want to believe these things so much. And I guess it's always been, but now with the ease of this kind of thing on the internet, I think more people get suckered into it. And you hear locally, especially around this time of year, how there's scams going on. I was just in the bank today. And I walked in and I hear someone in the back office say, you can't trust your money in this bank. And I was like, I kind of laughed. And I looked at the workers behind the counter and I laugh. I go, that's not what you want to hear when you walk in. And you're like, what's that? And I tell them what I heard. And they laughed. They go, no, there's a email going around, like a scam email going around. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of what I figured. But people, they believe this stuff. And just because they see it on the internet, they believe it. So if you see these kinds of things, then waste their time. If you've got a couple extra minutes, waste their time. Make them think they got you. It's fun. Sometimes you get the craziest stories out of them. Another one I've been getting, and it's not related to the Illuminati, and I almost forgot about this, but on Facebook, I've been getting messages from people saying that they're part of Facebook support, and that my business website is in danger of being taken down because I've violated some kind of thing. And then they're like, click here to file an appeal. And it's like one was a link pop address. One was a link tree address. And the other one was a linker address. Facebook is never going to contact you through Messenger. They're never going to have you click a link to go anywhere, they will email you. And if there's an issue, they'll tell you to go into your account information. And if it's a page, like a business page, there's an actual like business center that you go into with all that stuff. And all that information goes in there. They will never have you click a link in anything. They will tell you to go into your account and the information will be in there. That's when you know it's legit. And I've gotten 3 or 4 of those now. So I just message them back and go, you know, good luck with all that. You know, consider yourself reported. And then I block them. But yeah, so they're trying to do that. And they put like a icon, you know, where their picture should be. It looks like some, you know, like a help center icon with like a, some with a headset on. It looks legit, but they're not. So please be aware. There are a lot of scams going around and no one's inviting you to be the Illuminati, or Facebook's not trying to contact you through Messenger. Just let people, you know, let your loved ones know. If you think they might be in danger falling for this stuff, just let them know. It's that time of year. Start paying attention, because it's coming. You know it's coming. So that was how I spent the last day messing with Henry of the Illuminati. I will keep you up to date if I do hear back from him. I don't think I will. I'm pretty sure that me throwing a couple of the other addresses, and then the fact that I think as soon as he saw that I saw it goes to the Armenian embassy, I think that's when he stopped. Pretty sure he knows the jig is up. So that's my Illuminati story. Not the first weird society that I've been associated with. I did for a while. I wasn't a member, but I worked for a company that was run by Scientologists. And that was interesting. So I hear stories about Scientology and some of the weird things that happened in there. And I can concur that I saw some very weird stuff happen with people associated with the corporate side of that business. And I know for a while that when they tried to bring people up into even lower management, they would put them through a program that was a Scientology, Dianetics, L. Ron Hubbard written training manual that was always really weird. And they wanted me to be a supervisor. They wanted to bring me in as a lead. They had a different name for it, but they, as a lead, and then, you know, move into, you know, working as a supervisor, a field supervisor, and all that. And someone pointed out to me, I didn't know at the time what the background of this company was. And then a guy pulled me aside and said, look, this is what's going on. I'm not going to tell you too much. I'm just going to like look up the owner of the company, look up a couple other things related to Scientology, and put that together for yourself. And I did the research and I saw all the connections, and I was like, I went back in. I'm like, I'm not interested. It was really weird. Yeah. I saw people turn on friends and family in really weird ways. It was bizarre. So keep your, you know, I don't want to say that everybody involved with Scientology is bad, but I think the core idea behind it is really bad. And I'm not a fan of organized religion to begin with, simply for reasons like that. And let your loved ones know. Keep their eyes open for the scams and the weirdness, because there's a lot of people out there trying to get everybody for anything they can. So that was the Illuminati part of the episode. And before I get into the inflatable army part, I want to talk a little bit about the other story I saw that was, it didn't turn into much, but it's really an interesting story. And it's another situation where people want to believe, and they believe even when they're told it's not true. So one of the things I like to do is on my free time, when I got a couple minutes, I'll go through sometimes TikToks, but they get really crazy. But like YouTube Shorts are pretty tame. Facebook and Instagram Reels, though, you can find some interesting stories, and that's what I use them for. Like last week, I saw a reel, and I kind of built the episode off of that reel. This was another one that I saw, and it was a Joe Rogan snippet, and it was from years ago. I don't remember exactly when, but it wasn't recent. And he's talking to Tony Woods, who is a comedic writer, and he's talking about how he was on vacation in the Seychelles Islands, which is off the coast of Africa. And I think there's hundreds of islands in this island chain. And he was, whatever island he was on, I don't remember if he mentioned it, but it was called the Seychelles Lagoon, I believe. And he was there, I think he was at a resort or whatever he was doing there. And he was either on the beach or just in the water, like wading in the water. And he sees something coming at him rapidly. He says like a missile, like a torpedo coming through the water, just coming straight at him. And it gets relatively close to him and it pops up out of the water. And at first he thought it was a person and kind of put their arms up over their head and then dove back in the water and just took off really fast. And he says that he doesn't want to say it was a mermaid. It wasn't like half fish, half person. And it looked male, but it just looked like a human that was also part fish, like kind of a fish like face, but it was more like a human shaped head. And then, yeah, he said it just happened real quick. And then he says, just look up the Seychelles Islands and the lagoon and mermaids, and you'll find stories about it everywhere. And so I did. And every story that came up was his story. And I thought, I'm not finding anything. Because I want to see something. Maybe someone's got a picture or like a crazy CGI'd in mermaid or something. And there's a couple video clips of like what could be a manatee or something in the water. And it's old mermaid. And I don't think it is. But it dawned on me. And I don't remember exactly when this interview was. But a few years ago, there was a mockumentary about mermaids. And it was done. Never anywhere in this show did they say that it was a parody. I think in later airings, they had to add it in the beginning because people were really believing that this was real. Because it was done like an actual documentary, like scientists were searching for mermaids and they found them. And I got to look into it now and see if he was one of the writers, because he is a comedy writer. Was he involved in that? And I'll have to see if I can find the name of that mockumentary and see if he's a part of it. It'd be interesting to see. But it was just another example of a story that seemed interesting in the beginning and looked like there might be more information. And then it just went and there was nothing. But it led me to the next story. And this is where we get to the inflatable army. This, much like last week's, where the truth was a better story than the meme, this turns out to be an incredible thing. The reel I saw is by a Billy Graziani, and the title of it is Entertainment, That's All It Is, For Your Viewing, but the caption on it is Imagine Seeing Isn't Believing After All. And this isn't the only place I've seen this story after I looked into it. Other people believe this, but the gist of this reel is that when the Air Force and the U.S. Armed Forces withdrew from Afghanistan, there is a video clip showing a Boeing C-17 Globemaster 3, I think is the name of the plane, but it's a huge jet cargo plane that the military uses. And they show this footage of people surrounding it and cheering as it's taxiing down the runway. And they play a little bit of it, and then they back it up. And the voice says, "Did you notice anything weird about the C-17? And then they play the clip again. And then they point out that the windows are completely black and the engines are blacked out. Like, you can't see the turbines. And when they play it again and you look at it, it looks very much that way. And then they say, this isn't a real C-17. This is an inflatable prop. And they're just fooling people into believing that this was going on. Now, I don't know why that would be the case, but this is what this reel says. And then they show some footage of these military soldiers dismantling an inflatable tank. And it looks legit. Like, they take the turret off and they're just kind of flipping it around. And this other guy walks up to an army truck, like a, what they call it, like a deuce and a half, like the big army trucks. And he just kind of grabs it and tips it over because it's fake. And when you look at that and you look at what they're telling you about this C-17, this is the danger zone here again, because if people want to believe so much that they're being lied to and that there's all this deception going on, that they're walking straight into lies and deception and believing it. You see the same thing with Flat Earth, where these guys say they give you a little bit of information that sounds like it might possibly be feasible and tell you how wrong, you know, science is. And then because people want to believe that they're being misled, that they willingly get misled. And it's really dangerous. And I could see this happening here with people too, because some of that footage looks real, looks really real. And then when you look at what they're showing you as far as that C-17, yeah, the windows are really dark and they don't look see-through and you can't see anything inside the engines. It just looks like it's maybe black mesh inside. So I watched it a couple times, and then if you really look closely, you can see light, like from the camera angle, you can see where the cockpit wraps around the plane. And on the opposite side, you can actually see light coming through in the windows. And it's hard to tell if that light is just a reflection on the window. But yeah, when the engine goes over, you can't see anything because it kind of taxis over the camera holder and you can't see anything. It's really dark. Their explanation for the dark windows and the blacked out engine is that this C-17 is in fact a giant inflatable toy. It is an inflatable replica of a C-17 that is being shown just for kicks, just to lie to you. I don't know why. I don't know why anybody would do this. But my first question when I watched this was, how are people climbing on it? There's people climbing on the sides of it, like trying to climb. It's obviously a hard body thing. It's not a balloon. It's not like a bounce castle. And I think part of the reasoning that they want to believe it's not real is because it's really low, right? It looks like it's just skating along the ground, because C-17s don't have a suspension like you'd expect, like a Boeing 777 to have. They're designed to carry a lot of weight, and they're designed to be able to load tanks and trucks and vehicles easily into the back cargo hold. So the plane, when it's on the ground, sits really low to the ground. The landing gear barely come out of the bottom. And around the front where the nose gear would be, there's so many people surrounding it, you can't see it. So it looks like they're carrying this thing down the runway, but they're really not. So the first thing I did is I went and I found the actual video file, right? I went online and I searched for this clip, and I found it from CBS and NBC and a couple European news agencies. And I watched it. And the first thing you see is, yeah, look how dark those windows are. And look at that where the engines are, you can't see anything. It looks blacked out. If that's what you're looking to see, that's exactly what you're going to see. But as you watch the clip, you notice that there's just some clever subtle editing done, and not CGI. They didn't add anything, but they just adjusted the gain and the contrast just enough that the dark parts of the plane got a lot darker. So the windows are just tinted. They're heavily tinted. And the cowling on the engines of a C-17 is unique. Now, this is pretty easy conclusion to come to if you do any searches on any kind of planes. The C-17, especially these C-17s, these are U.S. Air Force C-17s, they are deployed in the Middle East, which is a lot of desert, which means a lot of sun, means a lot of bright sand. And they fly in the air above the clouds, which means it's really bright. So you don't want your pilots and co-pilots to be blinded as they're flying. So they heavily tint the windows. This is... Now, the engines are really recessed in these cowlings. They're really long jet engine bodies. Like I forget what you call those, like the fairings. They're really deep. And with the brightness of the surrounding area, there's clearly sand, like giant, I don't know if it's a mountain or giant sand dune. The sky is kind of bright. The runway is clearly not, it's been bleached by the sun. So there's a lot of light, and the camera's adjusting for that. So all the dark looks even darker. But I want to go a little bit further than that. So I just looked up the C-17, and I found some photos, and I found some, like, the Air Force specs for it, and all the pictures, unless you are looking, it was just the right light coming from in front of the plane, like if the sun is in front of the plane, it's really hard to see those engines in any lighting, because the turbine sits so far back in that housing. So it's not inflatable. I mean, these planes are like 174 feet long with 169 or 160 some foot wingspans. Like, that's a big plane to make as a fake. And even if it was an inflatable plane, it wouldn't be easy to move. That would still be really heavy. It would be really, really heavy, because you'd still need supports for the wings. Like, they're not just going to, those aren't 160 some foot wingspan. You're not going to have a balloon that's got enough rigidity to hold that shape. So it's not an inflatable plane. If you have any doubts that the windows would be that tinted, I pulled up images of a Boeing 777. And guess what? The windows are tinted. Most big airliners, jets, cargo planes, anything like that, have heavily tinted windows. And not to mention the fact that the cockpits are darker inside. And when you're outside in the light looking into a darker room, you can't see inside. So, not a fake plane. But what about those images? What about the clips of the soldiers dismantling the fake tanks and tipping over the cars? That is much more interesting than an inflatable plane for absolutely no reason. In World War II, there were units that were deployed that stayed secret until just a couple years ago. They weren't allowed to tell their family, their friends. They weren't allowed to tell anybody what they did, how they did it, where they were, any of it, until I think it was 2 years ago. Or maybe just last year. Maybe we might be within a year of this being declassified. And it's known as the Ghost Army. Now, there was the 23rd Headquarters Special Troops and the 3133rd Signal Company Special. And they carried out 25 battlefield deceptions across France, Luxembourg, Belgium, Germany, and Italy. And they did it with inflatable tanks, trucks, artillery, all kinds of things. They used sound. They used fake radio signals to completely fool the Germans. And from what I'm reading, and I haven't gone through all of it, I just found that there's a book and a documentary. But from what I understand so far, they would go in to where there were troops stationed. And I would assume overnight, they would come in. The troops that were supposed to be stationed there would leave. And this ghost army would take their place. And they would put up these inflatable tanks and jeeps and trucks and artillery. And they would play sounds that made it sound like there was more people, made it sound like they were building bridges, made it sound like tanks were running and moving, and that people were moving about the compound and in the area. And they did this with actual trucks that looked like they had artillery, like air-to-air or surface-to-air missiles, like these kind of units with a grid of like 9 or 12 like anti-aircraft missiles. But instead of there being missiles inside, they were speakers. And they would use these to play these sounds. And then while they were pretending to be this large contingent of soldiers, they would leave. Like the real soldiers, the real battalions would leave and go to another area while the Germans had no idea that they were on the move. It's incredible. They don't know exactly how many people that they saved because they got bombed. They were basically told, your job is to go to the front lines and get the Germans to shoot at you. You're to be decoys. And not all these soldiers made it out alive. But they saved, by some estimates, 15,000 to 30,000 soldiers by covering them while they were moving to other areas. Information they have from after the war, where they saw what was going on with the German troops, they found out that a lot of times the German troops were falling for these decoys. It's absolutely crazy. They just roll them out. They're in like these bundles. They just roll them out and they'd inflate them. There'd be a tank and there'd be a truck and there'd be an artillery gun, but none of it was real. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that is you're in World War II. And I think there was 1,000 soldiers that were assigned to these units. Can you imagine you're on the front lines with balloons? I mean, I'm sure they had actual rifles and they had some ammunition, some ways to protect themselves, but to be there pretending that you have battalions with you and more people than are really there, and you have no or very little actual artillery or tanks or anything. Can you imagine that? I can't believe that. So there's two websites. There's ghostarmy.org, and that is the Ghost Army Legacy Project. They've got all kinds of information there. And then there's ghostarmy.com, and that's got information about, there's a book and there's a documentary or some other information. And I just found that tonight. So I'm going to have to look into that documentary and see what else I can find, because that may be a whole episode on itself. But there's a 3.5 minute video clip on the ghostarmy.org website that goes over some of it. And what I found in this documentary clip are the actual video clips that were used in the inflatable C-17 meme reel. So yes, it was actual real footage, but they're using it to make people think that the military is using fake C-17s to fool us into believing that we had military in Afghanistan? I don't... That's the problem with these. They don't really make sense, no matter how you look at them. But that's what we got. So the Ghost Army, really cool story. Definitely suggest looking into that. And then, you know, maybe I will talk about the third story real quick. How long have I been recording for? Oh, I got time. So the third story is another one of these people will believe to the point of nearly killing themselves. And this is related to Flat Earth. And I still, for the life of me, I can't figure this out. I really do appreciate people thinking outside the box, but this one is just insane. So I saw this video of this guy, and I didn't catch his name or where he was from, but he is of the belief that the Earth is flat and that the sun is local. Like a lot of people who believe in Flat Earth believe that the sun can't possibly be 93 million miles away. It's got to be much closer, much, much closer. And as is the moon. So what this guy does is, what are they called? Powered wings, paragliders, right? Basically it's a chair with a giant fan attached to the back and a parachute that you hang from and you take off. So he hops on one of these and he's trying to fly, I think, to the sun. I think he's trying to fly to the sun to prove that it's within our atmosphere. Now, I don't understand why you would think this. There's a lot of reasons why it wouldn't make sense. But he gets in his flying wing, his ultralight, his paraglider, whatever you call him. He starts it up and he flies off. And now I've seen people, there's a guy locally who has one, and I've watched some of his footage, and he gets pretty high in that. Considering it's just a chair with a motor strapped to it, like I got a fear of heights. I wouldn't be able to do that. I don't think it looks fun, but I don't think I could do that. This guy, he's using his phone as an altimeter. Now, I don't know how accurate that would be, but he gets to about 4,000 feet and he says, all right, it should be in about another 1,000 feet up. I don't know if he doesn't understand how far 1,000 feet is, but you would think that if you believe the sun is 5,000 feet up, or even if you think the sun is 10 miles up, or however high up they think it is, if you are 4,000 feet, it should be changing its size, its relative size. It should be appearing larger to you. You should be getting warmer because you're getting closer to the sun. He gets to 5,000 feet. Of course, the sun's not there. He keeps going. He gets to like 9,000 to 10,000 feet. Still going. I guess one of these can get that high. I don't know. I don't know if that's even possible. He says he got up to 17,000 feet. And as he's approaching this elevation, he's like, I'm starting to get cold. No kidding. No, commercial jets fly, I think they're between 30 and 50,000 feet. I think 50,000 is like their upper limit to avoid storms, but usually around 30,000 feet. So he is more than halfway to where jets would fly, expecting to see the sun, I think, below him at this point. Like, don't you think that commercial airliners would have run into the sun by now? If it was within our atmosphere, there would be news stories of people crashing into the sun. And if you could get an ultralight that high, it definitely would have happened. So he's starting to complain it's getting cold. And then he's having a hard time getting oxygen because he's 17,000 feet in the freaking sky. And then it finally dawns on him. This is a really bad idea. Because I think maybe he looked down and realized he's just in basically a lawn chair with a fan attached to the back in a very small parachute. And that's kind of the end of the clip. Now, I would guess, and I could be wrong, I'm not sure this absolutely, but I know in commercial flight at 30,000, 50,000 feet, you can see a very slight curvature of the Earth. And I know a lot of people say, well, that's just in the windows or your camera's got a lens. No, it's been shown. It's been proven. You can see it. It's very slight, but you can see it. I don't know if you could see it at 17,000 feet with the naked eye, but he had to notice that the sun wasn't getting any closer and that he was getting colder instead of warmer, which he should be if you're getting that close to the sun. So again, this guy believed so much that he flew a chair with a fan and a parachute to 17,000 feet to try to get to the sun. And that's dangerous. Now, I know in season 4, I covered the guy, and I don't remember his name, and I apologize, but he is Mike something, maybe Mike Smith, Mike something. And he built a steam-powered rocket so that he could prove the Earth was flat. And he kept trying to launch, and he'd have technical issues. And then he tried to launch, he had technical issues. And he tried to launch, and then, you know, he was on like state land or government land or somewhere. And people were like, you're not doing that from our land. And he wound up finally getting a permit or permission from somebody somewhere to launch his steam-powered rocket. And it didn't end well. And he wound up dying for it. It's really dangerous. And I appreciate people thinking outside the box, but at some point you've got to think that what you're doing is really, really dangerous. And sometimes there's just not a conspiracy. Sometimes there is. Sometimes there's a conspiracy. Sometimes there's cover-ups. But the shape of the Earth probably is not one of them. So that's all I got for this episode. There's a lot of crazy stories out there that people are either very eager to fall for, or maybe they don't know. And it's believable. And I don't like the term gullible, because I think we've all believed something at some point that wasn't true. It happens. Just, especially this time of year, the holiday season, when people are looking for ways to get everything they can out of people. Just look after your loved ones that may be susceptible to falling to things like this. And just keep an eye on them. Keep them grounded, so to speak. If you've got any questions or comments or concerns, you can contact the show at podcast@primitiveintelligence.com. I hope you guys enjoyed this. It was fun episode. I expect the next two, 19 and 20, to be similar. I'm not looking to do a ton of research this late in the season, because I was expecting the season to be over. But I will, Jay, look at maybe also doing some bonus episodes between seasons 5 and 6. And what I might do is look back at some of the topics that Rocco and I covered back in seasons 1 and 2, when the episodes weren't quite put together and there was a lot of tangents and we just kind of rambled. But we did touch on a few topics, and maybe I'll go back and dig through some of those that may have more or less information now than they did back then. So we'll see what happens with that. Now, this is actually the second time I recorded this, because on the first attempt, a setting changed in my computer somewhere for some reason, and it was not recording through my good microphone. It recorded through the built-in microphone, and it sounded like garbage. So this either sounds better this time, or you're just getting a crappy sounding podcast, because I'm not going to record it for a third time. Sorry, just not doing it. It's almost 1 o'clock in the morning. So I got to get this edited and then upload it and out to you guys. Hope you enjoyed it. You've been listening to the Primitive Intelligence Podcast. That's all I got for this week. See ya.